shaking things up at the Fourth Estate. It's the Friday Mixer. Getting a clearer picture today about the alt newspaper LA Weekly's New Direction, a group of several investors, many with records of donating to Republican and libertarian and conservative causes and candidates, are at the helm of a publication known in its entire history for its progressive bent. Now, when news broke this week that the LA Weekly pretty much cleaned house, it caught a lot of people by surprise, and the news comes amid a tumultuous few months for a number of media companies, including the parent company of website LAist and other outlets here in Southern California. Gabriel Kahn teaches journalism at the USC Annenberg School. He worked as a newspaper correspondent and editor for a couple of decades, including 10 years of the Wall Street Journal. Hi, Gabe.
Hi, how are you, Steve?
I'm well. Happy Friday to you, by the way. Catherine Pickard also joins us. She teaches journalism across town at Loyola Marymount University, LMU, on the West Side. She's a former reporter for Time Magazine. Catherine, thanks for being here.
Hi, thanks for having me.
You bet. Gabe, I'm going to start with you now because this segment is called The Mixer. It's what a lot of journalists do after work. They go and mix, and they mix with sources, and they mix with people, the newsmakers of the day, and encourage these sources to give them information. And many of those journalists this week are out of a job.
Yeah, I mean, and don't forget that this week isn't necessarily completely an exception. This has been part of a, you know, big, long struggle that we've seen come for many years here as the newsroom ranks have thinned.
Catherine, how does the shakeup at the LA Weekly, do you think, fit in with what's been happening to other LA outlets recently? We saw the going away of LAist, the Gothamist, right? The website, the parent company of LAist, and the owner of that website saying, hey, they were about to unionize in New York, so I'm just going to shut the whole thing down. What does that say about journalism and the selling of journalism today?
I think also we have to acknowledge that there's a unionization effort going on at the LA Times right now as well. So I think there's a lot of, you know, kind of tumult in Los Angeles media. But, you know, I think what's going on with the Weekly, you know, aside from, you know, whatever direction the new ownership might want to take the publication, you know, it's kind of another sort of slow casualty of, you know, what's been changing in mainstream journalism over the last 10 to 15 years. Alt weeklies like LA Weekly have been really historically dependent, exclusively dependent on advertising revenue, which has been really hard to kind of keep up with the changes as everything's going digital. So I think alt weeklies have been particularly vulnerable, and we're seeing that, you know, play out here in Los Angeles.
Gabe, we've been talking for a long time, for years, about the digital age of journalism, the problems of making money, obviously, on the web. Why does it seem like so many organizations, though, cannot come up with a solution to this problem?
Because there's an oligopoly in digital advertising, and it's controlled by Google and Facebook, and they take well over 50% of every dollar that's spent in digital advertising, and everybody else has to fight over the scraps. And it's an unfair playing field because it was designed by these two companies. And they wield tremendous influence, not just economic, which is startling, but then, of course, in terms of how this information travels and the way that they've designed this. And they have gotten between publications and their audience. You know, either Google search or Facebook is pretty much the layer between a publication and its audience, and that allows them to scrape most of the economic value from that interaction, leaving the publications with little after that, which makes it difficult for them to be robust and healthy.
Catherine, what's the answer here? Is there an answer to it?
I mean, you know, I think everyone in the media business over the last 10 to 15 years has been trying to come up with some answer. I think that, you know, we're seeing, you know, a real open debate happen. I mean, Gabe is right about Facebook and Google, you know, sucking out all the money from advertising. I think that what happened in the last election with the, you know, kind of Russian interference on Twitter and Facebook with fake news is, you know, forcing people to kind of take a look at this again. But I think one issue that also comes along with, you know, kind of Google and Facebook getting in between publications and their readers is that readers aren't as identified with sort of their local news outlets anymore. Everything gets kind of flattened online and it can, you know, there's not as much sort of reader loyalty to the local publications.
Gabe, what do we know about the Weekly's new ownership? They've been silent. It's been sort of this mysterious group for the past few weeks. We knew that when they bought the publication there could be a mass firing ahead, but nobody knew exactly what was going to happen. What do we know about them?
Well, I mean, first of all, we have to know that the investment group called Seminole Media, which was, I guess, formed for the purpose of buying the LA Weekly, did keep its identity secret for quite some time in a way that I think is kind of inexcusable. And now we have had some names come out. Brian Kaya, who was the chief opinion writer for the OC, is kind of leading this and has brought in a bunch of other investors.
Including an attorney known for representing members of the marijuana industry. We have philanthropists, investors, real estate developers and redevelopers based here in Southern California, many of whom, as I mentioned before, have contributed to conservative or libertarian causes.
Yeah. I mean, in terms of what the editorial direction is, we have no idea. Why they fired everybody except for, you know, a couple of folks is still a mystery. None of these people have any kind of tight connection with Los Angeles. It also does kind of have a bit of a kind of libertarian bent, which, you know, would be a shift for that paper and certainly something a little out of character for Los Angeles media. And, you know, for any publication, its relationship with its readers and the trust that it has with those readers is paramount. This is really not a way to start off on the right foot.
Well, when you say libertarian bent, because many of these people, we did a little research here at KCRW through FEC filings, Federal Elections Commission filings, that many of these investors, most of them, the vast majority of them, have contributed to Republican campaigns in the past. George W. Bush, Mitt Romney, people like that. And I wonder, it seems to me that we're getting into a phase in now American media that a lot of conservative people with deep pockets are wanting to get involved. Is that a fair assessment?
Yeah, I mean, I think we've seen obviously an explosion of media on the right, especially during the last presidential campaign. And of course, now Breitbart News and others, you know, who have really found kind of a foothold in, you know, more partisan media. So I think that would be, you know, I mean, there's nothing wrong necessarily with partisan media as long as you can have kind of a diversified media diet. But in Los Angeles, where there just isn't really, you know, a healthy and robust and diverse, you know, group of outlets publishing stuff all the time, I think it's a bit disconcerting to think that one of the city's very few outlets may go into one, you know, sort of ideological direction.
Gabriel Kahn at USC, Catherine Pickard over at LMU. Thanks to you both.
Thank you, Steve.
Thanks, Steve.